Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
If I ask the question, what is a kingdom? I'm quite certain that most of you out there listening would be able to give a very good answer as to what a kingdom is. I'm quite sure that most of you know what a kingdom is. And in fact, most people all over the world would be able to answer that question, and they would know what a kingdom is. But why is it that most people can understand what a kingdom is? They can understand that any kingdom on this earth has a king, as well as high offices under a king. Also, it has a territory. It has subjects over which the royal family would rule. There would be laws associated with the kingdom, laws by which they would govern. That all seems pretty normal, pretty straightforward. But why is it that most people could answer that and can understand that, and yet when we come to the subject of the kingdom of God, they don't think about it the same way at all? Why is that? Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote a fantastic book. We've offered it before, and that book is Mystery of the Ages. And one of the chapters is The Mystery of the Kingdom of God. And I want to give you a quote out of that book. This is under a subheading entitled Daniel Knew. And here's the quote. "Haven't you heard men speak of the kingdom of God something like this? By Christians everywhere working together to bring about world peace, tolerance, and brotherly love, the kingdom of God may at last be established in the hearts of men. Because they rejected Christ's gospel 1900 years ago, the world had to supplant something else in its place." Now think about this. You've heard people talk about the kingdom of God the way that we just read there in that quote. And yet that's totally different than what most people would answer when they think about a real kingdom. Now, Mr. Armstrong's making the point that people had rejected the gospel message of Jesus Christ 1900 years ago, so the world had to supplant something else in its place. They had to invent a counterfeit. So we have heard the kingdom of God spoken of as merely a pretty platitude, a nice sentiment in human hearts, reducing it to an ethereal, unreal nothing. Now, look, you may doubt that, but just pause, think about this a little bit. How many people talk about the kingdom of God and that being the solution to all of the world's problems today? How many politicians do you hear talking about that? How many religious leaders do you hear talking about that? I mean world-renowned religious leaders. How many of them do you hear talking about the kingdom of God as a real, literal government that's going to be set up on this earth and solve this world's problems? Don't they reduce it down to a pretty platitude, a nice sentiment maybe in the hearts of men? Reducing it, as Mr. Armstrong said, reducing it down to an ethereal, unreal nothing. Going on with this quote, he writes, "Others have misrepresented that the church is the kingdom. Others confuse it with the millennium. Still others have earlier in our century claimed that the British Empire is the kingdom of God, but no one makes that claim any longer. How deceived can this world get?" Indeed, what a question that is. How deceived people are about this subject, and yet, as we'll see, this is a vitally important subject. As a matter of fact, it is something that we must believe. We must hear it, understand it, and believe it, or we cannot even be saved. So what is the truth about the kingdom of God? What is God's kingdom? The subject of the kingdom of God, even though it's talked about throughout the Bible, simply is not understood by most people. And yet, this is what Jesus Christ came preaching about. He came preaching about the kingdom of God. And just about all of his parables were about the kingdom of God. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said that this gospel of the kingdom of God would be preached in all the world. Before he would return. Oh, now, what is the kingdom of God? Let's answer that question today in this episode. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 1, and we'll look at a few verses here in this chapter, Mark chapter 1, and verse 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel about Jesus Christ. And remember, the word gospel means good news. So this is a news proclamation, and it's good news. And this marks the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, most people are taught today that the gospel of Christ concerns only the events in the life of Christ, and it includes him being our Savior. However, there is much more to it than that. So don't take this for granted. It is extremely important. Now, I'll just give you a few verses you can jot down if you're taking notes. But in John 3 and verse 13, it talks about no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ is the only one that has ascended up to heaven, and he came down from heaven, and right now he is in heaven. In that same chapter, John 3, verse 34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." So here in Mark 1, we're talking about this good news proclamation that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke. And if you look at John 3 and verse 34, it says that God sent him with this message. God sent Jesus Christ with this message. So this gospel message, this good news proclamation that we call the gospel, that was sent with Jesus Christ by and from God the Father himself. John chapter 12 and verse 49 says, and this is quoting Jesus Christ, him speaking here, he says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So God the Father sent this message with Jesus Christ. So this is coming from the highest levels of the universe. God the Father is the one that is behind this message, the message that Jesus Christ proclaimed, the gospel message. This is his plan. It's his message. He sent it personally to be delivered to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And another pivotal prophecy is found over in Malachi 3 and verse 1, and that's a prophecy about Jesus Christ being sent to this earth. And there he is even referred to as a messenger, the messenger of the covenant. So Christ was sent with a message, and that message was the gospel message. It was not a message about himself. It was a message of good news, and it was sent from God the Father himself. Now, what was that message? What was it all about? If you skip down to verse 14 in Mark chapter 1, we'll find exactly what that gospel of Jesus Christ was. Verse 14, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." That's what the message was all about. That's what Jesus Christ brought. That's the message he brought from his Father, from the throne room of the universe in the third heaven. "Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" So we're commanded by Christ from the very beginning, the very outset of his ministry, to repent and to believe the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message about the kingdom of God. And as we've seen from these other verses, it was a message sent from God the Father himself. And it says here, "The kingdom of God is at hand." The time had come to prepare for that kingdom. Preparations for that kingdom could now be made. So we have to then repent, understand, and hear the gospel, and then believe it. And it is so important that we must believe it in order to be saved. And again, it's a message sent from God himself, from the Father himself. It is that important. Now, is that kingdom just an ethereal, kind of unreal, pretty platitude, a nice sentiment in human hearts? Or is it an actual kingdom that is going to solve this world's problems. Well, look, Christ said we must believe the gospel. We have to repent and believe this message or we can't be saved. Let's learn and believe what that gospel message that God the Father sent with Jesus Christ really is all about. In Zechariah verse 14, we find the beginning of the chapter really is talking about some end-time prophetic events. It's sort of teaching us about a countdown leading to the very return of Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." This is talking about the return, the actual return of Jesus Christ to this earth. That mountain, the Mount of Olives, is over there in Jerusalem right now. That mountain is there. Everyone knows where it is. This is not ethereal. This is not unreal. This is not a sentiment in anyone's hearts. This is talking about the actual day that Jesus Christ returns, and he's going to return to the exact same place from which he ascended to heaven. And he is there in heaven today, and you can see in the book of Acts where he ascended from this earth, from the Mount of Olives. He went to heaven. He's still there, but he is going to literally return and stand on that very mountain, the Mount of Olives. And as this verse says, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst towards the east and toward the west. And it goes on here, and it's talking about that return of Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up in verse 8, though. Notice this, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." Verse 9 then, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Now that is a literal kingdom being set up on this earth with a literal king, and that king is Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that people don't talk about this? Why is it that people don't have their faith in this? Why is their trust not in this? Why is their hope not in this? Why don't we hear politicians that claim to be Christian talking about this? Why don't we hear religious leaders talking about this? Why isn't there hope in this, the return of Jesus Christ, to be established as king over all the earth? This is clearly what your Bible teaches. Jesus Christ will be king in that day over all the earth, and he will rule over all the earth. Let me just read verse 9 again. "And the eternal shall be king over all the earth." This is Jesus Christ at his return. He will be king over all the earth. "And in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth and set up a kingdom, and he will be king of that kingdom, and he will rule and reign over all of this earth.
You're listening to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis. We'll be right back to the program in just a moment here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and streaming live online at kpcg.fm. The book that's being offered today, free of charge on this program, is a fantastic book, Mystery of the Ages. It's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Mystery of the Ages was written by the late Herbert W. Armstrong. And this book explains the mysteries of your Bible, seven great mysteries. Chapter 7, in particular, is of interest concerning today's topic, the mystery of the kingdom of God. What is the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ? The world does not know, Herbert W. Armstrong writes. It has not been preached for 19 centuries. Strange as that may seem, look into your Bible, he says. Look at it from the very beginning. And so this gospel of Christ has everything to do with the kingdom of God. Make sure you understand what that gospel is and also what the kingdom of God is. It's explained from your Bible in this free book, Mystery of the Ages. It's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Make sure to request your very own copy today. Find Mystery of the Ages and find it at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about the kingdom of God. What exactly is that kingdom? And what was that message really all about that Jesus Christ brought and proclaimed? It was a good news proclamation that he was sent to this earth to deliver. And he was sent by God the Father himself. So this message comes from the highest levels of the universe, and we do have to hear it and believe it in order to be saved. So it's very important that we understand what that kingdom of God really is. Now, let's look at one of the most important prophecies in all of the Bible, really, in Isaiah 9. We find Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It reads, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Now, we all know that that's talking about Jesus Christ. He did come to this earth as a child. He was born as a little baby. But notice what it ultimately leads to. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government will be upon his shoulder, a literal government. We read over in Zechariah 14 in the first half of this episode that in that prophecy, talking about the return of Christ, that he will be king over all the earth in that day. He's going to be king. He's going to rule and reign over all the earth. And here, now it does talk about his first coming. He came as a child. And of course, he had to be sacrificed. He had to go through that to be our Savior and to pay the penalty for our sins. But he is coming back, and ultimately, the government will be put on his shoulder. He will rule. He will reign. That's what this is talking about. Now, notice verse 7, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Now, this is some sort of a vision. This is some kind of a government. This is not some ethereal, unreal, pretty platitude that is just a nice sentiment in people's hearts. This is a literal kingdom, a literal king, a literal rule and reign over this earth. It's a literal government that it's talking about, and it's going to go on and on and on, and it's going to bring peace to this earth, finally, thank God. We need that so desperately, of the increase of his government. "And peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom," notice that, Jesus Christ is going to sit on the very throne of David, and it's going to be a kingdom that just goes on and on, the government and the peace that is produced by it. It says there shall be no end. There's just no end to this vision and where it's going to lead. "And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this." Let me tell you, God is very, very zealous about this. This message, after all, came from God the Father himself. He sent this message with his son to this earth. He came to this earth as a child. A child was born because he did have to die. The lamb had to be slain to pay for the penalty of your sins and mine. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. But he was also born to be a king and to sit on the throne of this earth. Now, think about what these verses say. "The government shall be upon his shoulder, the increase of his government and peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He's going to sit on the throne of David and upon his kingdom, and he's going to bring judgment and justice. He's going to bring righteousness to this earth." Now, this is just one prophecy, but there are many, many, many prophecies in the Bible about David's throne, and it is an unbreakable line of kings that ends in what is foretold in this verse, culminating with Jesus Christ sitting on that very throne. And from there, God's government will increase forever. There will be no end to it. We're never going to be ruled by men again. We will be ruled, and this earth will be ruled by God himself. And God means what he says when he says it will last for eternity. And this government, this rule, this kingdom will bring peace, just as Isaiah 9 and verse 7 says. So many other verses talk about this throne and Jesus Christ sitting on it and ruling and reigning from that throne. If you want to jot these down and look them up later, Jeremiah 3 and verse 17 talks about, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the eternal. Zechariah 6 verses 12 through 13 talks about he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, Jesus Christ. Psalm 47 talks about the eternal being a great king over all the earth. Psalm 67 and verse 4 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ ruling and judging the people righteously and governing the nations on the earth. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9 is another one. I mean, that's just a handful of many different scriptures pointing to Jesus Christ as the eventual ruler and king to reign over all of this earth. Put all these scriptures together and the ones that refer to a kingdom, even in a more general sense. And it's really remarkable how much is embedded in the Bible about the kingdom of God. Let's look at another very important prophecy here. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, a couple of passages here that should make this even more clear that God is talking about a literal kingdom. That's what the kingdom of God is. It is a literal kingdom with a king and with servants filling offices under that king. And there's going to be a territory and subjects and laws by which the kingdom is governed, just like any other kingdom that you've ever heard of or seen on this earth. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, here's a prophecy here in Daniel 2, I think you may be familiar with this. Most of you probably are. It was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had, but he couldn't determine and couldn't discern what it was. And it talks about this great statue, and verse 35, it says that there was iron and clay and brass and silver and gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, look, we have literature, the correspondence course and other literature that can help you to prove what I'm about to tell you, but mountains refers symbolically, usually two kingdoms or nations. Symbolically, it represents that. The stone here is Jesus Christ and his world-ruling kingdom, and it's talking about that stone smiting the image, and the image represented other nations, other kingdoms, literal kingdoms on this earth, and that's clearly explained in the verses 36, where it talks about the Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire. Verse 39 gets into talking about the Persian and the Greco-Macedonian empires, and then it goes on at verse 40, talks about a fourth kingdom shall be established, and that is the Roman Empire, or the Roman kingdom. And then there comes another kingdom. Now, that Roman Empire would be resurrected over and over, and there's one final resurrection in the end time just before Jesus Christ returns. But notice verse 44, and this is Daniel chapter 2, and quite an image and quite a revealing study if you really want to know what the kingdom of God is about. Now, you have all of these literal world-ruling empires from Nebuchadnezzar all the way up to the Roman Empire, and then the final resurrection in this end time in which we're living even now. And then verse 44 reads, "And in the days of these kings, literal kings on the earth, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." You see, that kingdom is not something in the hearts of men. That is a literal kingdom. And notice, "it shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." You see, other kingdoms will be in existence on this earth, and they are, and they have been, and they will be all the way up to the return of Jesus Christ. And then Christ returns and he begins to set up his own rule in God's very own kingdom. Daniel clearly knew that God's kingdom would be a literal kingdom with power over all nations. Daniel 7 explains this as well, and it goes on and talks about even the saints are going to rule under Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when he sets up this literal world-ruling government. The saints will be a part of that kingdom. It says they'll take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's called the King of Kings in the New Testament. The saints are those lesser kings. And Revelation 5 and verse 10 even tells us that that he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth. That's your future. That's what God is intending for us to do. He's training us and preparing us. Those of us that God is working with, he is preparing us to rule on this, the throne of this earth with and under Jesus Christ. So many scriptures make that absolutely clear. Over in Daniel 7, it also says in verse 27 that the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So it will be an earthly kingdom. It'll be a kingdom on this earth, not a kingdom of this present evil world, but it will be a kingdom on this earth. It says under the whole heaven. So it's not a kingdom that's actually in heaven. It's a kingdom under the whole heaven. Now, we don't have time to go through all of Daniel 7, but you can look that up and see it for yourself. And that verse is in verse 27 of Daniel 7, to be specific. Now, in Luke 17, let me just touch on that real quickly. Luke chapter 17, this verse confuses a lot of people. Here, Jesus Christ is talking to some of the Pharisees. And in Luke 17 and verse 20, it reads, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come," and see, now they're talking about when is this kingdom coming. They understood it would be a literal kingdom. And when would that kingdom come? "He answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation." Now, literally, that's talking about with an outward show. When Jesus Christ came the first time, there wasn't an outward show, and that would be the age of the church and the first fruits. Now, later on, as verses 24 and 25 show, that when Christ comes the second time, there will be an outward show. People will see his return and see this all being set up. But when Christ came the first time, he came as a child, and he came to be our Savior and to die for our sins. And so he says, well, look, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. That was when he came. He's the king of that kingdom. And when he came the first time. And then verse 21 says, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, that verse confuses a lot of people. And again, we're hitting this quickly, but we can send you literature to explain this, and you can study it and prove it for yourself. But if you look up that word within, in the English is what it's translated into in the King James, is really not a good translation of what that word means. That word means among you or in the midst of you. And that's because Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom of God, and he was right there in the midst of them. Now, people who say, oh, no, that's not what it means. Well, look, again, think about who Jesus Christ is talking to. He's talking to some very evil men, some very evil-minded Pharisees, and Jesus Christ is saying to those Pharisees, the kingdom of God is among you. It's right in the midst of you. The king of that kingdom is right here in the midst of you. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the kingdom of God was in their hearts. We can understand that by seeing what that word means. We can understand it by seeing what all of these other scriptures and prophecies point to, but also think about who Christ was talking to. He was talking to some very evil men, and they certainly didn't have God's Holy Spirit anything closely related to the kingdom of God within their hearts. And so that's obviously not what Jesus Christ is talking about. And when you understand the meaning of that word, Christ is saying, look, the kingdom of God is right here in the midst of you. It's right here among you because the king of that kingdom is there. John chapter 18, we'll conclude here for today's program. And make sure you do study and order the literature that we have that we can send to you that'll help you to be able to prove this further, to fully prove it and to understand it more thoroughly. John 18 and verse 35. Pilate here, this is when Jesus Christ is being, what has been brought before Pilate. Verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done?" Now this is Pilate talking to Jesus Christ. Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." So he's talking about the kingdom of God is not from this system or age of man's way. But notice, it's not of this age of man, it's not of this world of man, but Christ did admit to having a kingdom, but it would not be set up within man's system of civilization. Luke chapter 19, there's a great parable there that makes this undeniably clear. You can study that on your own as well. Verse 37 then says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." What an incredible passage. Jesus here admits that he was born to be a king, but that his kingdom was not of this world. It did not belong to this world, but it will be set up under the whole heaven, and Jesus Christ will be king over all the earth, ruling all nations. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.